Welcome back to another insightful episode of the No More Leadership BS podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Geyer, and I'm here with Myra Hall, Dr. Sam Jennings, Jeff Geoff McLaughlin, and my good buddy, Jeff Conroy.
Hey.
And if you are a listener, and of course you are because you're listening to us now, so I don't know exactly how that works, but keep listening. That's what you need to do. And when you listen to last week's episode, we wrestled with, contemplated, and talked about the answer to the question, do you have to like the people you lead? So as the leader, do you have to like the people you lead? In this episode, we're going to talk about the flip side of that question, which is, can you be an effective leader if no one likes you? Or if a majority of the people don't like you? Can you be an effective leader, Geoff, if nobody likes you? And my bearded friend, it's hard for me to imagine no one liking you, but what say you?
I've got my haters. I do. Not everybody. Most of the people on this podcast like me. Most of them, minus the bald people. But
let's see. We're going to do the math on that, folks. There's five of us, so I don't know how
much. Four of you have hair. Four of you have hair.
Well, here's the hard part is that anytime you're in a position of leadership, there's somebody that's going to disagree with you and the things that you're doing. Always. Yes. Somebody's
I could do it better.
But they're not the person in the position of leadership. So there's going to be dissent at some point, always. Now, the question, though, was, can you be a good, effective leader if your team of people don't like you? I'm going to say yes, and it's going to be an absolute uphill battle. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be challenging. If your team actually enjoys you and they like you, they're going to work harder for you. If you're the proverbial booger in the punch bowl all the time, and you're just shooting things down left and right, and they don't have any respect for you, then you're probably done. They're going to do the bare minimum to get by. And that doesn't provide success for anybody. That's just, you know what? Now all of a sudden we're here for a paycheck. We're not here because we believe in mission, vision, and values. And that's my 2 cents. And I don't know. Throw away. Darts away. Darts away. Bring them on. I'm ready.
I thought you were going to say that's my 2 cents. And if you don't like it, tough. Okay. Sam, Jeff mentioned right there at the end that the people don't like you and they don't respect you. Are like and respect the same things?
Like and respect the same? I would say not precisely, but they definitely are arm in arm buddies. And I think your original question, can you be an effective leader? I'm going to say no, can't be an effective leader. Now, can you run a company that turns a profit? If you're a giant a-hole? Yeah, I think we have plenty of examples out in the world that demonstrate that. Just because people need to have a job, earn a living, to get themselves food and shelter, doesn't mean you're a good leader. If they work for you, it means they have a need that gets met. But being an effective leader, folks have to see you as a person that's actually a whole person and is interested in their development and their career experience, even if it's marginally. But if you've got no concern for other people, it is very difficult to be an effective leader. Being a barking boss, easy. An effective leader, no.
I accept your dart with dignity.
Say that again.
I accept your dart with dignity.
Myra.
That was a dart with one of those little sticky things on it. It wasn't even a pointy dart.
A lawn dart.
I'm following Myra, man. I'm bringing my arsenal.
I know you are. You look like you're feverishly writing down notes. So I was going to give you time to do that. So Myra, while Conroy is sharpening his darts, what do you think about this whole effectiveness of a leader if people that you lead don't like you?
Oh, gosh, it's such a big subject. Who do I go with? Which one do I want to throw darts at? Yeah, honestly, what came to my mind is just because they like you does not make you a good leader. And that is just a fact. And the second thing that came to my mind is, how does the world in general say that's a good leader? What are their KPIs that they look at from the outside? We look at the profit margin. How often do you see reports out there, corporate reports, yearly reports that says, oh, our turnover was down to blah, 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 or our employees had a high satisfaction rate, although that's more common now than it used to be. But in fact, people use it, companies use it to recruit because they have a high satisfaction rating. But so often from the outside, we look at leaders that are profit driven. They're making money for, and from the outside, it looks like we're going better, and yet we're building a house of cards. So I'm just going to challenge people, because that's what society presents to us. Are you going to try to live up to that? Is that going to be your heroes? Is that going to be, and I could, some of them come to mind. I don't really want to name names, but yeah, they have.
Spill the tea, Myra. Yeah, name those
come
names.
Come on, Myra. Come on.
Who are they?
Don't be a quitter.
We all know who's fallen from the pedestal, that what we thought was good leadership turned into gutter leadership. Everything they built was a house of cards. It was meant to look like it was successful. Didn't matter if people particularly liked him or not. To answer your question, I think it's important to respect a leader for him to be. I don't know that you have to like him. I don't know if you have to bring him home to meet your grandma or any of that kind of stuff. But you have to respect him. And in order to respect him, they've got to care about you.
Yeah.
My two cents worth.
Conroy, go, baby.
I love you all. Let's just start with that.
Here it comes.
But do they have
That's Conroy speak for buckle up, y'all.
Right. Buckle up, better guys. Now, I agree with what you guys are saying. Do they have to like you to work for with you? I do agree that they have to respect you, but they also have to trust you. And trust is earned and not given, so they need to do that. I also believe that the way they act within the office, the way the culture is within the organization, if it's a gossipy, backstabby, bitey culture, that's the way they're going to treat the customers. The way they treat each other in the office is the way they treat the customers outside the office. I believe that. So if you have a toxic culture, you're going to have a toxic interaction with customers. You're going to have that I don't care, just whatever kind of thing. You're missing the purpose of the focus. The one thing I don't like about if they don't like the supervisor or the boss is the social media component of it. It's toxic. It's incredibly toxic. And it's, for me, I've seen it just recently where people are on social media just going after the head of an organization. And there's that pack mentality. It's the let's dogpile and me too type stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with you. And it's real easy to hide behind a keyboard. And that's where it turns really ugly, because it does affect people that are within the organization see that and they're like, hey, I can't believe they're saying this. And I can't believe they're doing that. And they could be past employees. It could be current employees. So it can be really toxic. I go back to my days of the story of the Boy Scouts. When I first became a leader, I led the way I was led, and I top down hierarchical, do as I say, not as I do. Let's go forth and conquer type stuff. And nobody's following. Nobody followed me because I didn't read the room, and I had to re-educate myself and teach myself on how to be a better leader. And so it's on the leader to not be liked, but be aware and to do everything within their power to make the organization move forward and be fruitful. But if you're going to have those employees that are going to be constantly toxic, you need to introduce them to find their happiness elsewhere.
There you go.
That's my two cents. But I strongly believe that if you have a toxic culture, that's how they're going to treat your customer base.
And that toxicity comes or starts or is perpetuated by many things and for many reasons. And the issue there for me anyway is, as the leader, it's your job to address all that stuff. And sometimes you can try to teach a pig to sing, but it's not going to be successful and it's just going to make the pig angry. You need to, like you're talking about, Conrad, help them be happy somewhere else. But I really don't think you can be as effective as you need to be as a leader if nobody likes you.
100%. I agree with what McLaughlin said, is they may not like you, and it's going to be one hell of a long road to hoe. It's an uphill climb, and you're going to take arrows front and back.
Well, yep. I decide.
But leadership, yeah, leadership isn't a popularity contest, right?
No,
but, at the same time, people have to like and respect you and respect, that kind of stuff.
And trust. They have to trust you.
There you go. And so, and I'm back to you now, Dr. Sam, real quick on this. They have to like you and trust you and respect you. Although those are separate things, they really are interwoven, aren't they?
They are. And I'm thinking about, forgive me if you actually are a history person, because I'm not, but maybe George Halas for the Chicago Bears said that when we responded to how his team was doing, he says, they're asking if the team likes him. And on some of the effect of, if they all hate me, at least they're doing something together. So his goal was to get them coordinated in some space. So to your point, there will be moments in time when people don't like you very much. That doesn't mean they don't like and respect you overall. And episodically, things aren't going to go well. And you'll do things that are leader that folks like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that because that person was so good. I'm thinking about terminations, that kind of thing. They don't have the background story and you can't tell it.
100%.
So you take those barbs, you say, I appreciate your concern. Let me know if there's something else I can be of assistance with and move on. And yeah, they don't like you, but the no trust, the respect, and treating folks with dignity. Yeah, like you ask, those are all tightly interwoven. And if we want to make believe that we can peel out one of those threads and say, they respect me, they don't like me. Yeah, that may go for a minute, but it's not a foundation upon which you build your leadership house.
And see.
Yeah. Well, and what's really funny is you talk about employment issues. That's the biggest water cooler gossip there is. When someone is let go, everyone's around the water cooler going, God, I wonder what they like. I wonder what happened. What happened? I bet you they got fired because of this. I know they fired it and the manager's horrible. And they should have never fired him. Legally, you can't talk about why you terminated somebody. Employees don't understand that. They're like, somebody was just let go. And they'll say, was it because they were embezzling? I'm like, why the hell are you even having that conversation? Where'd that come from? You can't tell why someone was terminated legally. And as an employee, you should appreciate that.
Right.
But you can terminate somebody and then immediately for the rest of the staff have how to not embezzle training and they'll put the pieces together.
I'm not saying there's clues, but there's going to be clues.
There's going to be clues. Yeah, don't read into that.
We're going to do a training on ethics now. Money laundering and embezzlement.
Yeah, why are we having so much sexual harassment training?
Let's wrap this thing up because we like to keep these within 4 or 5 hours. That's what we need to do sometime, guys, is have an episode that's not 20 or 30 minutes long, but that's 2 hours and really hash some of this stuff out. So here's the thing at the No More Leadership BS podcast. We take very serious our experience and the knowledge and wisdom that we discuss with each other because leadership is a challenging thing. And to be an effective leader, quadruples or orders of magnitude more challenging, right? Anybody can be a crappy leader, but being an effective leader takes a whole lot of work. And real quick, in one or two sentences, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but in one or two sentences, let's go around the table. What can make us effective as a leader, regardless of whether people like us or not?
Do what you say you're going to do.
There you go.
I was just going to say awareness of self and awareness of others.
Yep.
Fairness and integrity. And that goes back to do what you say you're going to do and treat them fairly. Treat everybody the same.
Okay, Sammy.
Sam, go.
Are we good? All right. You tell as much of the truth as you're legally allowed.
Yeah.
The truth shall set you free.
Truth.
Yeah, pretty good, man. That's a tough one. Even when I asked the question, and I thought, okay, I got to answer it too. And to be an effective leader takes lots and lots of things. You boil it down to one thing. It's tough. You guys did a great job. I'm going to say mindset of the leader, that you have to know yourself. And in fact, your mindset has to be, I have a ton of things to learn, and I'm going to take it upon myself to learn those things to make me more effective. So, yeah, boy, keep listening to the No More Leadership BS podcast because we have no BS here. We have a ton of fun, and we have decades of experience and stories and expertise in leading people. And we are glad that you are part of this podcast. And until next week, for Myra, Jeff, Geoff, Dr. Sam, and me, Jeff. Too many Jeffs. No, not enough Jeffs. Let's not get some enough. More Jeffs. This is the No More Leadership BS podcast. We are glad you're here, and we'll talk to you next week. So long, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.